Well, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you can all hear me. So my little short talk is really just to give a bit of perspective and a little bit more history, particularly at the start of what was the Turing Gateway to Mathematics, since I've been in post for almost 6 years now, actually, since we created this initiative. So I just thought it'd be nice to sort of tell you, some of you may know this, but it's quite interesting how the initiative started. So we were launched at the end of March 2013. I think I took up post on the 25th of March. And we sort of hit the ground running. Within that first week, we had a flurry of activity. These were what we call our open for business events, sort of knowledge exchange. And you can see the variety of what we've got there, you know, government, policy, industrial statistics, liquid crystals, etc. And this was an idea conceived by Professor John Toland, who sadly couldn't be here today with us. And also our Deputy Director, Christy Marr. And it was sort of followed a six-month programme we had in 2012, which was about Alan Turing, as you'll see there, which coincided with the 100th anniversary of the birth of Turing. And obviously, the idea of using the Turing name is clearly there because he was exceptional and the sort of wide influence across multiple areas, obviously not just cryptography, and code breaking, etc., but pioneering in computer science, mathematical biology. Also, you know, part of the thinking for this initiative was sort of stimulated by the fact that John and Christy were then working on the latest INI grant proposal to the research councils. And I think they were trying to answer this sort of recognition of the importance of formal mechanisms for delivering impact. And the last point is sort of what was our first mission statement, and indeed I don't think it's really changed much since then. You know, we're here to help stimulate the interchange of knowledge and ideas between mathematicians and users of maths, which is pretty much everybody from multiple disciplines through to business, industry, government, etc. So, gosh, I mean, where to start? I mean, I had worked in a number of knowledge exchange, technology commercialisation, corporate research, technology areas. So I had quite a mixed background, which I think hopefully has suited the role quite well. So the sort of scratching head, where to start? I would say I think mathematics is very challenging in terms of the discipline for knowledge exchange because it underpins so many areas. It's so diverse, and there are so many potential users and relevant communities to connect with. So it's, you know, where to start? Well, a good place to start was with a couple of the INI programs which were running at the time. There were three, but these two I mention here because they lent themselves certainly a bit more to the application side of things. So the quantum information one and the polynomial optimization program. I had a great basis to start from because the INI was already well established and respected. We had a lot of good contacts through the INI, through John, friends of the Institute, and I did bring quite a few of my own contacts with me and quickly set about establishing a really good database. So the INI research programmes, we've been creating impact since 2008, as was mentioned before with these Open for Business events. And so, you know, there were already a strong legacy of running these events then. So what I did was I took these two programmes and basically set about creating some more work, some initiatives. So with the polynomial optimization, that spun out into optimization for space engineering, as you can see, working with the European Space Agency, Airbus, and a number of academic institutions. And we ran three workshops over 2 years with that. It started off in the UK, but then expanded to Europe. Quantum Information Programme, that spun out into the post-quantum computing, working with GCHQ and a number of other UK universities. We had two workshops in 2014. the idea to identify future challenges and research directions in those areas. And also there was quite an emphasis on helping to build communities and UK research capacities in those areas. This is just, some of you may have seen these, I've had a similar slide when I introduced events before, but the sort of events that we do, we started to do a lot more scoping workshops, and here's a couple of really nice examples where we worked on novel computational paradigms with GCHQ and also evidence-based decisions with NERC. And I'd say that, I think David touched on these before, that they're very much in the area of horizon scanning. Again, building communities. And as you can see, the depth and breadth of the different communities involved, for instance, in the novel computational paradigms, that was quite challenging to make sure that we pulled together the right academics from a very diverse set of disciplines and indeed sub-disciplines in some cases. Evidence-based decision-making, that's part of... So we had a research scoping two-day workshop, which is part of a longer-term engagement with NERC and DEFRA and other key stakeholders in that area. So we kicked off with the research scoping workshop. Again, the challenge was bringing together different sets of communities. So what we wanted to do and what we actually achieved was have about a third academics from mathematics and statistics, about a third from traditional NERC disciplines, which of course is ecology, geography, environmental sciences, and a number of the other similar areas, and then a third stakeholders. So obviously your DEFRA's, Environment Agency, Forestry Commission, National Trust, etc. That was the start of things, but we're now working, in fact one of our organisers, Peter Challoner, is here. Peter was also an organiser on the UQ programme last year. So there's going to be linked funding calls associated with this. We're also busy developing a stakeholder survey, which I'm going to Swindon to talk about in a couple of weeks. That stakeholder survey is really important because it's going to feed into the 1 month INI research programme, which is running next July. And then it also links into a number of UK strategies. And indeed, I think the main programme is the Strategic Priorities Fund, which is cross-cutting across UKRI, but specifically relates to the Landscape Decisions Programme in this instance. We've worked on a number of study groups, and I'm pleased to say we're currently working with our colleagues in the Maths Department on SG, the Mathematics for Industry Study Group. We worked with Bath University last summer on that study group, and we're helping to bring in a number of industry problems. Hopefully we're sort of up to about three at the moment. There's one I haven't told you about yet, Stephanie, to sort of contribute to the running of that. Oh, I've just dropped this, so I hope it's still working. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Back?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Not very good pockets in ladies' tailoring, so sorry about that. So, so a number of areas that we've worked on, we've done two... Am I right just to hold it in my hand? Yep. Okay, sorry about that, technical hitch. So we've done a number of research study groups ourselves. The one on the sort of animals in research, and also two for Maths 4Cs, and also, as I said, the European study groups. A lot of bread and butter activities that we do are the more straightforward knowledge exchange dissemination events, although perhaps I shouldn't say straightforward because they never really are. So there's just one example here, which was linked to the UQ programme. I like that example because it shows that over 50% of attendees were non-academics. Very quickly, snapshot of some of our partners and collaborators. So I think I can go straight on from there. A stats snapshot. This one's quite nice because it shows you our trajectory of how we've increased numbers of events, our activities and participation. We also interact with around 750 different organisations, and across those, even more numbers within those organisations, both as partners, collaborators, participants, speakers, etc. And on average, our events are about 40 to 50% non-academics. Just very quickly about the future. I mean, I think David's touched on some of these things. I mean, first and foremost, I would say that I think in 6 years, we are pretty well established. We continue to play a key role in the UK mathematical sciences, and we continue to work in partnership with others, and this will be expanded. In fact, it's the most efficient way of working because it's cost effective, avoids duplication, and it just means that our outreach is even more extended. We continue to try and hone our governance so that we're reaching out to the right people and we're getting the right advice, going in the right directions. Our activities cover numerous areas, as I'm sure you're all aware without me running through them. And I'd say future directions, I think we've sort of carved a bit of a niche for ourselves in the horizon scanning, scoping workshop area, helping to build and develop and build communities, and basically continue to maximise outreach and engagement for INI research programmes. Okay?
Peter?
Yeah. Okay.